America is filling up with new homes. Rows of newly finished townhouses and fields of mint-conditioned mansions crowd the landscape. Some sit next to old farmhouses. Others ring metropolitan areas where old houses still prevail. The new houses are just beginning the process of developing personality, the kind of personality that comes only from years of being lived in by families who leave a part of themselves behind when they move on. Writer James Morgan traced the history of his own old house in the book If These Walls Had Ears.
Living in a new house is one thing when you know and you pretty much witnessed its history if you watched it being built. But in an old house, you walk in and it's just got secrets and it's got history and it's got stories.
Sometimes the stories are literally hidden in the walls. Gordon Bach, editor of Old House Journal, says his magazine occasionally solicits stories about things their readers find in walls and floorboards of their houses. Most seem to have been left behind accidentally. Photos, coins, toys, as well as old letters and papers are common. Some things are left intentionally, like a time capsule or house plans hidden away in newel posts.
The experience of finding something from a previous owner in the walls of a house is probably very, very common. I wouldn't be surprised to hear it's almost universal. You live in a building long enough, and the building is old enough, somebody has left a memento or some evidence of their presence.
A friend told us recently that such a discovery was made in her house.
Trying to find a bag for you.
The house is under renovation, and when the workmen began ripping out the walls and ceiling, they found bundles of old letters. There's something seductive about the romance of secret letters found in the crevices of an old house. Even the workmen on the project have been pulled in by it. Jeff Bladick is the lead carpenter.
I've had all the trades in here working upstairs and all that, and I mean, it's just, we're finding these things, you know, almost anywhere in the attic that we're going.
You're pulling these letters out?
Yes.
How many letters so far?
The first day we found probably about 20, 25.
Eight in the first grab.
In the first grab, yeah, we found about 20, 25. And there's still, just in this section, there's still a whole batch more. And there's some this way.
Like, if you stuck your hand in there now, do you think you could pull some out?
Adam, pull some out. Go ahead and pop them out. You have to.
On this day, as workman Adam Molek begins to pull down the ceiling, pieces of plaster fall on our heads. He reaches his arm into the fresh new hole in the ceiling and begins tugging a bundle loose.
Let's see what's up there. Look at that. What is that? It's a postcard.
Postcard.
From a jumble of old papers, some nibbled on by mice, individual pieces of mail begin to emerge. There's a postcard from Colorado dated August 13th, 1899, an old-fashioned Valentine's Day card, and stacks of brown, dust-covered envelopes. This latest find, says Jeff Bladick, is like all the others.
Wow. That's amazing. Have you read them?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting because when we first found them, you know, I mean, you find something like this, and it's like, you know, cool. And just curiosity, you want to read them, and you know, some of the first ones we found were, in a way, was kind of wondering what happened, because they seemed that a lot of them were sympathy for something. Somebody died or something tragic happened. Huh. So then, you know, you pull the next one up and it's the same thing, and it's, you keep piecing it in, trying to figure out what it was.
We clear a space on the floor, shake the dust free, and begin sorting through the collection. Some of the correspondence is mundane, letters detailing events of the day, written just to keep in touch at a time when mail was the main form of long-distance communication. But other cards and notes and letters clearly related to a tragic event. We are at once excited by the find and saddened by the realization of what had happened.
It looks like a child died. Your mother's letter has just come telling me about your little Mary Elizabeth. There's nothing I can say to comfort you. I know your heart's ache. Love, Aunt Annie.
We find some old newspaper clippings, the child's birth announcement. We look at the date, May 3rd, 1923, and the year the letters were sent, 1926, and we realize the child was 3 years old. The questions linger. Who was the child who died, and what did her death mean to the family? Why were the letters in the walls of that house? Was it done on purpose or simply by accident?
I think people in New England never throw anything away, baskets or cans or old letters.
Al Bowker grew up in this house. He remembers that the attic was full of old letters and papers and believes some of them must have fallen into the walls of the house during an earlier renovation. His parents, childhood sweethearts from a small village in New England, moved into the house in Washington, D.C. in 1927, shortly after the death of his little sister, Mary Elizabeth.
We had actually just bought that house and were in the process of moving into it because we were living in an apartment which wasn't adequate, you know, for a family. So then, and then the family was less by the time we moved. So it was really a very upsetting event.
Do you remember that sister?
Oh, yes.
What do you remember about her?
Oh, she was cute and fun, and we used to walk out in the park in front of the apartment where we lived, and Woodrow Wilson lived around the corner, and the family legend is that he was wheeled out there and patted me and my sister on the head, so.
Mary Elizabeth died in an influenza epidemic. The Bowkers eventually had another daughter, and she too died in childhood of scarlet fever. And so, says Al Bowker, I was an only child. He has mixed feelings about the letters that have been found in his old home, but he's curious and wants to see them. He wants his children to see them, too. My friend has already sent some of them to him at his home in California. He looks forward to seeing the rest. Fresh drywall now covers the spaces where the letters were found. New stories are waiting to be told, because a house will always have a story, as long as there are people in it.